What's up, everybody? It is End Time Headlines here. It is Monday, March 27th. We welcome you to tonight's program. If you're new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us, please let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Again, I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the pastor, the founder, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And tonight, I want to show you three stories over the past week that is going to show you that time truly is running out for the gospel of this kingdom to continue to be preached and to hold the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So without further ado, let's get after it tonight.
Of End Time Headlines.
All right, again, I want to welcome everybody to the program. Again, it is Monday, March 27th, and there's so much going on that we're going to cover a lot this week, but for tonight, I want to cover three stories that surfaced this past week in regards to, I believe it's the attempt of the enemy to try to silence the gospel from being preached to the whole world. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Before we get into that, again, if you've not downloaded our free app, please go to your Apple store or your Android store and get it today. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. This is how you're going to be alert of every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. If you're listening, and you're not watching a visual of this, if you'll just go to your Play Store, depending on your device, type in End Time Headlines. When you download that free app, whether you're watching by visual or by listening, once you download the free app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be notified of every headline and every podcast when it is available. So that's the best way to keep up with our ministry. We want to encourage you to do that. And of course, hit that like and subscribe button, hit the bell for push notifications, and you're going to be notified of every video as well when they come up and they're readily available. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. If I had to have a foundational scripture for where we're going tonight, this is probably where it would be. Matthew 24:14, and this is the gospel of the kingdom, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I want to emphasize here that there is three groups of individuals who know this. Number one, the individuals who read this, which is the believers who read this and understand the comprehension of this, we understand that this gospel is going to be preached to the entire world as a witness to all the nations. And this is one of the keys to the end of the age or to the return of the Lord. The second individual that knows this is God himself, who inspired for the gospel writer of Matthew to write this. So we have God that knows this, who declares this to the readers of this, who interpret this and understand this, which is the followers of Christ. And then the third individual I propose to you that knows this is Satan and his kingdom of hell. So let me recap that real quick. You've got God who knows this, who spoke this and inspired this. And number two, Matthew, who wrote this in his gospel that is to us as believers. So that would be God, believers, and then Satan. So all three of these groups know, comprehend, and understand that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations. Now, let's just talk about this for a second. If all three of these groups understood this and knew the importance of this, wouldn't you think that they would act upon that, and you would see results in that? You would see actions that are centered around that. So God, being the one who inspired this, is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, Acts chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, so that he can raise up his hands and feet of those who would carry this gospel to all the world. that is sons, daughters, men, women. Right? Everybody got me. So that's what God's doing about this. He's opening the doors for us as his disciples to preach the gospel to all the world as a witness. And then number two, you have us who are the recipients of this commandment and this word. And we are the light and we are the salt bringing about this gospel everywhere we go. Our workplace, our places of education, the marketplace. Now, what do I mean by the marketplace? I'm talking about like your local grocery stores, your retail centers, the warehouses you work at, the factories, the offices, whatever the case, going outside of your neighborhood or in your neighborhood. So this is going, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me and all of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So you see that there is action that is given to the recipients or the believers of this. Then we come to our final group, which is Satan and his kingdom. There is a kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of hell. So now what is their job? Their job is to try to stop, hinder, or silence this gospel of the kingdom to go forward and to reach the whole world. Think about it, church. If Satan knows that his time is short, Revelation says, no wonder he pours out his wrath upon the saints. It's no wonder he tries to wear down the saints. It's no wonder he tries to hinder and try to delay the gospel from being preached to the whole world. And I say hinder and delay because, listen, he can try to stop it, but he will not be successful in stopping prophecy from being fulfilled. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So whether Satan likes it or not, the world likes it, the atheist organizations or whoever that tries to oppose this, this is going to happen on God's watch, regardless of who opposes it. So let's get into the stories. This first story is very interesting. And I'm going to pull this up. A Utah school district is considering a Bible ban under a new sensitive materials law. This is a bizarre story. This is coming out of, again, the state of Utah. This is from FoxNews.com. A school district in Utah may ban the Bible after one single parent complained that it contained, quote, inappropriate and pornographic material and forced it to face a committee review. On the 11th of December of last year, the David School District received a petition from a parent to have the Bible removed from schools for being what the parent considered a, quote, sex-ridden book. The petition of the parent requesting review of the Bible was made available on Tuesday with the parent's name and address withheld. Oh, well, of course. Of course they're going to hide behind being anonymous. They don't want anyone to know that they're the one complaining about this. Regardless, Utah Parents United left off one of the most sex-ridden books around, the Bible. Quote, you'll no doubt find that the Bible has, quote, no serious values for minors because it's pornographic by our definition, according to the petition. Again, this was the written petition against the Bible. I want to read on a little bit more in this story. This complaint followed the passing of Utah's sensitive materials in schools law, which was enacted in May of last year, which, quote, prohibits certain sensitive instructional materials if they contain explicit And I can't read all of these guys just for the sake of, I want to be able to keep our broadcast up. You guys that are watching a visual of this, let me just, I'll pull this up so you can see what I'm talking about here without actually saying this. We'll try to veil these words here so we can get around this. If they can contain explicit sexual arousal, stimulation, self-gratification, intercourse, sodomy, or the likes thereof. Within the first 5 months of the law being in place, parents filed over 250 complaints petitioning for certain books to remove from schools. I'm pretty sure in that list, the Bible was never placed there, but nevertheless, according to the parents' petition, the Bible falls under this description and deserves to be removed. Now, again, I showed you under this report that one single parent filed the complaint. Unless there's more that we're not being told, we know that there is at least one single complaint. Again, everything from incest to bestiality, prostitution, and the list goes on, according to this parent, is all found in the Bible. You'll no doubt find that the Bible under Utah Code and 7610-12227 has no, quote, serious values for minors because it's pornographic by our new definition. According to district spokesman Chris Williams, the challenge was taken up for committee review as any other book despite its religious nature. Quote, it is a process. Anyone who requests a book to be reviewed has to have standing. He went on to say, we don't jump to conclusions. We go through the entire process. We don't blow off one request because we think it's silly. This has been very time consuming. We have 15 committees that have been established for this very purpose. The process takes an average of 60 days, though Williams has said the committees are currently facing a backlog of requests from other parents. So far, 81 books have been reviewed by the district's committee, and the committee has successfully removed 33 of those while retaining about 30 after review. According to the district's website, the parent was required to present 49 pages of the Bible's text that could be used as, here we go, evidence for inappropriate content. Now, guys, why am I talking about this today? What does this have to do with preaching the gospel to the whole world as a witness and then the end shall come? Now, again, I want to focus on category number three, which was the opposition of Satan and his kingdom. You have heard me said many times on this program in one form or fashion and one segment in the past or probably in the present that there's going to be certain groups and certain agendas out there that are going to target your Bible, and they're going to call it hateful. They're going to call it bigotry. They're going to call it in this regard, they're going to call it inappropriate. They're going to call it offensive. This book, my friends, is going to have a bullseye on it like never before in history because of the culture that we're now living in. So this is not a surprise to me. Now, again, as of the report of this, there is nothing that is absolute from Utah saying that this book, the Bible, is going to be banned from the school. Now, again, it's being, quote unquote, reviewed for at least 49 pages that's been presented to be, quote, inappropriate content. The Davis School District Committee is made up of about 7 people, including a district administrator, a licensed teacher who's teaching English language arts, a librarian, and at least 4 parents who will vote on whether the Bible will remain in schools. So there's your committee who's going to be voting on this. I can't tell you their affiliations, their religious views, or their background. So this is something we're going to keep you updated on as we get more information on this. But I want to pull in, remember, this also comes in light of what happened in Arizona with the school district up there. We talked about this, where this Arizona school board member, you remember this lady right here with the cat ears on, grown adult with cat ears. She's a school board member in Arizona, and she made the statement that the district should reject hiring teachers with Christian values because they are, quote, not safe. Again, so all of this is what I'm talking about, guys. Again, the enemy is, we have to remember here that according to the book of Ephesians written by the Apostle Paul, he said, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, and heavenly places. So one minister said it like this: principalities work through personalities. So I want you to think about this. If we are mere vessels of flesh and blood, either the Holy Spirit or demonic spirits will influence us. Now I say us as in both groups. Humanity. You've got people that are vessels of the Holy Spirit. In other words, they're used and influenced by the Holy Spirit to do the work of Christ, to preach the gospel, to witness, to be light, to be salt, to do good works of Christ, to let their light so shine among men that they may work, that they may see their works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But on the other hand, you got another group of individuals that the Apostle Paul identified in his writings as the sons and daughters of disobedience, that are walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit of disobedience is now working through those individuals. So again, they are host. We are host. One is being influenced by the Holy Spirit, and the other is being influenced by demonic spirits. So these individuals who don't know God, don't have a covenant with God, reject God, agnostic, atheist, whatever. These individuals either willingly or unknowingly are being used to influence the world and culture for the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of hell. John said that these are individuals who are walking in darkness and they reject the light because the light exposes their evil deeds in which they don't want to be made manifest and exposed. So therefore they revolt or they rebel against the light. I hope everybody understands that. So that's what we're seeing here. So Satan is trying to hinder this gospel of the kingdom from being preached to the whole world, which would include our education system, which would include in medical facilities, in our law enforcement. All these, in every avenue, guys, every avenue of society, you're going to have people working for the kingdom of God and people that are working for the kingdom of hell. So I want you to understand that. So then we got another story. Now this one is coming out of the United Kingdom. This is kind of an update, if you would. Here's the headline: thought crimes. United Kingdom set to ban silent prayer near clinics. Quote. Now, again, this is from faithwire.com. It will never happen here. That's the general sentiment when discussing feared crackdowns on free speech and religion, with some arguing those sounding alarms merely do so to conjure fear. So in other words, what they're saying is individuals like me that are warning that our freedom of religion and freedom of free speech is under attack, it's being targeted and we're losing it, they will label us as fear mongers and saying that we're just conjuring fear and these things are hyperbole and it's not really happening. Well, let's read on. The argument goes as follows: free speech and religion are protected bedrocks and won't go anywhere. Regardless of what faithful individuals warn, for a long time, such warnings about cultural changes, cancel culture, and related subjects have been patently dismissed as acts of emotionalism. Yet recent events and happenings have called these dismissals into question, with critics likening arrest, detainments, and punishments over religious expression to a 1984 dystopian nightmare in which people are only permitted to speak and act in ways that comport with cultural whims of the day. And by the way, if you don't think that's happening, again, please invite me to the rock that you're living under, because this is absolutely happening. Indeed, the facts on the ground seem to tell a troubling story. For example, in the U.S., high school football coach Joe Kennedy, y'all remember him? He spent years fighting back after losing his job for simply praying on the 50-yard line after games. He was finally vindicated after his case reached the U.S. Supreme Court and the justices ruled 6-3 in his favor. But it took years of fighting, though going all the way to the highest court in the land to solidify those fundamental rights. Then we go to the United Kingdom, where the situation appears even grimmer. With the latest example is a woman by the name of Isabel Von Spruce. We've talked about this in a podcast recently, who is a pro-life volunteer and co-director of March for Life UK. She reportedly was arrested a second time for the heinous offense of, ready for this, silently praying in her head, not even out loud. She was praying in her head within proximity of an abortion facility and what they call a abortion facility censorship zone. Oh, I'm sure that'll never come here to America, right? Anyway, these buffer zones are apparently places where even silent pleas to the Lord are forbidden. Therefore, Von Spruce was reportedly detained outside the BPAS Robert Clinic in Birmingham. Von Spruce's story is particularly troubling because a UK court had just recently acquitted her after she was charged with violating a local public spaces protection order last December for a previous arrest over the same issue. That's the report that we talked about on this program. But now she's been arrested again. CBN News provided a recap of the most recent video showing events leading up to her second arrest. Here we go. Ready? In the 46 second video, which I cannot show you because of copyright issues, but Von Spruce is shown standing still with her back to a hedge, that would be, you know, some bushes there, and her hands placed in her coat pockets. And then several police officers approach her. Now, remember last time, they approached her because somebody in the community tipped off the police officer. So somebody saw her standing there praying in her head. We call that meditating. Now, that's not a New Age term. That the Bible talks about meditating. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. She wasn't mumbling. She wasn't chanting. She wasn't praying out loud. She was simply meditating, or she says praying in her head. So her thoughts were deemed offensive to those around and to the law enforcement. But let me read on. The officers are seen on video approaching her and saying, quote, can I please ask you to step away from here and step outside the exclusion zone? Von Spruce replied, but I'm not protesting. I'm not engaging in any of the activities that are prohibited. Quote, but you said you were engaging in prayer, which is the offense. She said, quote, yeah, silent prayer. No, but you were still engaging in prayer. Really? Listen what they said. Quote, it's an offense, said one of the officers. Oh, let me say that again for the back row. Prayer, whether it's out loud, whether it's under your breath, whether it's of a whisper, or whether it's through meditation, prayer is now offensive. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who is offended by prayer? I'm going to tell you who's offended by prayer. Demons and devils straight from the pits of hell. That's who's offended by prayer. That's who's offended by the Bible. That's who's offended by church. That's who's offended by Christians. Come on, somebody. This gospel of the kingdom is offensive to those who are walking in darkness and are blinded by sin. The Ten Commandments have been removed from public arenas. Why? Because they are deemed offensive. To tell people to not commit adultery and don't lie and don't steal and don't covet and don't say the name's Lord in vain. Are you kidding me? Do we really have to ask why those were removed and why they're deemed to be offensive? So now we're moving on beyond. It's not just the commandments that are offensive. It's not just church that's offensive. Now we're moving into, look what we're moving into. Now we're moving into the God's very word and prayer, howbeit even meditation unto the Lord is offensive. What's next? What are we going to do next? Are we going to see the day when we go to a public restaurant and you and your family are getting your meals and you pray over your food and it becomes offensive to the restaurant? It becomes offensive to other customers in there and they complain about it and they ask you to stop praying or be removed from the premise because you actually prayed over your meal. Who can literally see this happening? I can. Open your eyes. Vaughn Spruce told the officer she disagreed. Quote, okay then, so would you rather that you be arrested and taken away than stand outside the exclusion zone? Is that what you're saying? The officer asked her. So again, what are we talking about here? This is not something you see in this is not a Christian movie, a Christian novel or sci-fi or something. This is happening in real time today in 2023. So let's recap for a second. So we have a Utah school district now that is considering, and it's at the mercy of this committee that's made up of 7 individuals. Who's going to decide whether or not the Holy Bible will be either granted access or prohibited from the school district because it's deemed to be offensive because of what's written in here. Then we have the United Kingdom, where any form of prayer meditation on the, quote, exclusion zone is... apparently is so offensive that it can cause you to be arrested and fined. Okay. Then we have, now this one's going to be a little bit shocking for people. I'm going to show you this report. This is from Prophecy News Watch. Prison time in Israel for sharing the gospel. Benjamin Netanyahu comes to the aid and the defense of Christians. What in the world is going on in Israel? This, after all, Brother Ricky, this is Israel. Oh, let me tell you about Israel in the last days in just a minute. Let me read this. The Prime Minister of Israel is coming to the defense of Christians in the wake of a, quote, proposed law. Now, you got to hear this proposed law. Ready? This proposed law would send Christians or believers to prison merely for the offense of sharing Jesus Christ or the message of the gospel in the Jewish state of Israel. Quote, we will not advance any such law against the Christian community, according to Benjamin Netanyahu, affectionately known as Bibi, who announced this Wednesday on his Twitter account. Now, by the way, in case you haven't read it, there is Israel is in absolute pandemonium right now in chaos because of a wave of protest. Again, these protests keep growing and growing and growing. So it's interesting because Drudge Report, right on the front page of Drudge Report, it talks about, look at this headline, Israel in chaos. So in the midst of all this, I think it's interesting that there was this petition. There was this a proposed law, if you would, that would absolutely persecute Christians from spreading the gospel in the land of Israel, where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified. Netanyahu has long been a great friend and ally of Christians all over the world. He routinely speaks to evangelical Christian audiences at conferences, hosts an annual Christian media summit in Jerusalem for evangelical journalists, and loves to invite Christians from all over the world to come and tour the land of Israel. Netanyahu has also been a strong and unwavering defender of protecting the human rights of free speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of conscience for all Israelis, including Christians. What's more, over the years, Netanyahu and his center-right party have consistently shot down any bills that would have threatened the rights of Christians in Israel, even though they don't agree theologically with Christians about who Jesus is. According to the report from WND, legislation had been introduced by Knesset members and another group, which makes up two ultra-Orthodox members of Netanyahu's coalition government, seeking to toss people in prison for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. The proposal would make it illegal, and I believe this falls under what's called the anti-conversion law, and it would make it illegal to share the gospel in person, online. Are you hearing me? Online, hello, like we're doing now, as well as in print or by email. Let me say that again. It would make it illegal to spread the gospel either by physical conversation in person, online, by print, or by email. Again, can anyone see all this being prophetic? Violators would be imprisoned for a year, with the punishment doubled to 2 years if believers are witnessing to someone under the age of 18, which would be a minor. Yeah, because we wouldn't want to influence them for the gospel, right? An English translation of the measure states, quote, recently, the attempts of missionary groups, mainly Christians, to, quote, solicit conversion of religion have increased. At times, though, these attempts do not involve monetary promises or material gains and are therefore not illegal according to the current law, but the many negative repercussions, including, quote, now listen to this, psychological damages warrant the intervention of the legislature. So again, they're calling the gospel psychologically damaging. Are you paying attention today, my friend? Quote, this is particularly in light of the fact that most of the attempts to bring people to convert their religion target the weaker classes who, due to their social economic standing, are more easily open to, quote, persuasion attempts such as these. This would follow under the poverty group, even though Jesus said, bring the good tidings or preach the gospel to the poor. Therefore, it is proposed that alongside the prohibition of giving favors as an incentive to convert religion, also prohibited will be the act of solicitation to convert religion when it is done directly at a person. That's what I was talking about when I said the anti-conversion law. It is proposed to distinguish between a situation where the person being solicited is an adult, in which case the maximum penalty proposed is 1 year imprisonment, and a situation where the person being solicited is a minor, in which case the maximum penalty proposed is 2 years imprisonment. Also proposed is to make stricter the punishment for someone who holds a ceremony of religious conversion of a minor and make it 2 years imprisonment instead of 6 months. So again, before I bring this home, somebody may say, well, Brother Ricky, I can't believe that would happen in the nation of Israel. After all, God calls Israel the apple of his eye. He says for us to pray for the nation of Israel. The Bible says that God made a covenant with the nation of Israel through Abraham. And he said, those who curse Israel will be cursed, and those who bless Israel will be blessed. Yes, that is true. All these things are true. But watch this. Morally speaking, and even politically speaking, and spiritually speaking. Let me say that again. Morally, politically, and spiritually speaking, when we get into the end of the age, or the time of the return of the Lord, did you know that your Bible calls the nation of Israel spiritually Sodom and Egypt? I bet some of y'all didn't even know this. Let me pull this up. This is in Revelation 11. I mean, let me give you a little backdrop on this while I've got this pulled up on the screen. This is the introduction to the third temple, the two witnesses who will be killed by the Antichrist, and they will be raised from the dead after 3.5 days laying in the street dead, and the whole world will witness this happen. Then there's going to come a great earthquake. And right in the midst of this, look at this. This is in Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. When the two witnesses finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of... Now listen where it describes here, how it describes Jerusalem, Israel. It says they will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Now, John saw all the way out into the future. And he saw Israel. He saw Jerusalem and Israel. And he saw that the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel would be likened unto, if you were to reference this to something, he said it would be referenced into as into Sodom and Egypt. Well, what was going on in Sodom? Well, again, the sins of Sodom, according to Ezekiel, was the fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness. They did not extend their hand to the poor, and it was full of sexual immorality. That was the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, according to the book of Ezekiel and Genesis 19. Then he says it will be as in spiritually Egypt. Well, Egypt was full of idolatry and bondage. Egypt had they had many gods, little g, but they had 10 major gods, little g. And all 10 of those little g gods were all judged when God led Israel out of captivity, led them through out of Egypt, through the wilderness and into the promised land. And when God began to pour out his judgment, we call these the 10 plagues of Egypt. Those were all judgments against each one of their G little gods. If you didn't get to watch the program we did on Friday night, I believe it was Friday night. Yes, it was Friday night that we did with Jason Armstrong. You need to go back and watch that, because Jason talked about that. We brought that out in our topic, in our podcast. And so God began to judge each one of these. The water was turning to blood. Then you had the cattle that were dropping dead. You had the lice. You had the frogs. You had the darkness that came. So each one of these represented a god, little g, that Egypt esteemed above Elohim, the one true God, the God that Moses served. So here we are. John sees the spiritual condition of Jerusalem. And by the way, let me pull this back up here. Watch this. In case you don't believe it's this, look what it says here. John says this will be the great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also, can you see that? Our Lord was crucified. Well, we all know that Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. So again, this is the condition. And by the way, Tel Aviv is one of the largest homosexual capitals in the entire world, and that's in Israel. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about that, again, Satan knowing that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. He is working overtime. He can't stop it from happening, but he's trying to hinder it or delay it. Remember the Apostle Paul talked about in his writings, especially to the church of Corinth. He said, many times I often desired to come to you, but I was hindered by Satan. See, because Satan couldn't stop the Apostle Paul from fulfilling his destiny, but he sure could hinder him. Oh, come on. That's a word for somebody right there. That's a word for all of us that needs to encourage you today. Listen, Satan can't stop what God is doing in you. The only two people that can stop what God is doing in you is either you, come on, or God himself. And God ain't going to stop the good work that he's began in you. In fact, the Bible says that he is faithful, that he will see that you complete it or finish it. So if he can't, if Satan can't stop you from fulfilling your destiny, and he can't stop Bible prophecy from being fulfilled, he can delay it. He can hinder it. Are you hearing me today? So this is what we're talking about. So this is all going full circle here. Okay. So what I wanted to do today was paint this picture and show you that we are seeing Satan knowing that his time is short and he's running out of time. So therefore, he's cranking it up. He is working overtime to try to stop the gospel from being from going forth to all the world as a witness, because he knows that if this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached into all the world as a witness, then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to split that eastern sky, and we, my friends, are going home. Come on, do you receive this today? So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. That's how you're going to keep up with all of our podcasts and our headlines. If you are praying about becoming a monthly partner, this ministry is a blessing to you. It encourages you to, it edifies you on a week to week basis, and you'd like to know more about, or maybe you've been praying about it and you want to pull the trigger on becoming a monthly partner. We want to give you that opportunity to do that. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way to do it. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out there right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, we're gonna sign off for today. We'll be back on here, Lord willing, tomorrow on Tuesday, the 28th of March, for another great segment. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.